You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
June the 18th, 2020, the Atlanta Fulton County District Attorney, Paul Howard Jr., issuing charges against the two officers in the shooting the other day in Atlanta. He said, I think we can bypass any grand jury requirement. We know we got. We're going ahead with it full force. Oh, there's a lot more to this story, including the district attorney saying the other day, and as he announced yesterday, the charges, he said, well, the fact that the victim had a taser, that's not a deadly weapon. And yet, 2 weeks earlier, he said when police used a taser on some college students, it was a deadly weapon. More on that coming up in our first segment as we wrap up news and commentary. The Supreme Court ruling today against the Trump administration's effort to end the Obama-era program, DACA, the one offering protections to young immigrants brought to the country illegally as children. 5-4 decision. Chief Justice John Roberts joining the liberal members authoring the opinion, saying the court, the move to eliminate the program that grants privileges to children who enter the U.S. illegally as minors, was arbitrary and capricious. And then it said, we do not decide whether DACA or its rescission are sound policies. The wisdoms of those decisions is none of our concern. We address only whether the agency complied with the requirement that provided a reasoned explanation for its action. So there are a lot of questions still left open. Dateline China canceling 1,000 flights into and out of two major Beijing airports. A report of a second wave of the Wuhan coronavirus cases in the nation's capital. Roughly two-thirds of Beijing's total inbound and outbound traffic affected. We're going to be joined later this hour by Dr. Kevin Pham and his latest look at the virus and how it's affecting our nation. Where are we going from here? By the way, California setting yesterday a new single-day record for daily coronavirus cases exceeding more than 4,000. New York City, by the way, Monday, planning to reopen with Phase 2. Phase 2 opening up New York City. Mayor de Blasio says it's time to say to everyone, get ready for Phase 2, get on your mark, get set, because here we go Monday. That will allow outdoor dining at restaurants, bars, and some in-store retail shopping. You know, the President Trump is holding a rally in Tulsa Saturday. And they're going to make a big deal of it. There were reports of something like 800,000 or even a million requests for tickets. This arena only holds 20,000 or so. But there's also a report going around of some folks trying to recruit anyone with COVID-19 to mix in with the Trump rally. Are those supporters outside the location to get them sick with COVID-19? Is that a real thing? Story, or is that fake? We'll get to that later in this hour as well. New text messages in the hours before that helicopter flight that killed NBA legend Kobe Bryant, his daughter, and seven others on a foggy January morning, indicating that the pilot probably got disoriented in fog, texting back and forth before the incident. He was noted, now just check, not the best day tomorrow, but not as bad as it is today. Then later they decided the day of the flight, saying morning weather looking okay. Now the weather is looking, so we're going to be okay, I think okay. But then it appears that the pilot got into some issues, depth perception, got confused, and maybe just flew the helicopter right into the mountain. That's part of the investigation at this point. It's a tragedy either way. They never should have taken off. Two senior al-Qaeda aligned commanders in northwestern Syria killed over the weekend were being told now They were not hit with a missile packed with explosives, but one packed with knives. They call it a flying Jinsu, ninja bomb. And it will drastically affect such explosions in the future because the damage is limited to wherever it hits. Blades come out of the front of the bomb right before it hits and slice into anything and anyone there at a high velocity. By the way, word coming out, the Eagles, the Philadelphia Eagles, might be considering quarterback Colin Kaepernick. That's according to the head coach. Colin Kaepernick may or may not be in play. President Trump says, well, if he's good enough, let him play. So we wait and see.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
So are you ready to get out from the COVID-19 scare? We might still need to be careful in some areas. I do encourage businesses to make sure your facility is clear of COVID-19. And, of course, if you open up and then a client or an employee or someone else surfaces with COVID-19, you need to reevaluate what's going on. I would encourage you to contact Wellington Environmental. They can determine at a very reasonable cost what you need to do before you open, once you are open, and as you move forward. It just makes good sense, doesn't it? Wellington Environmental, for 30 years, has been treating situations at hospitals, schools, daycare centers, private homes. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
We have concluded that Mr. Brooks was running away at the time that the shot was fired. Mr. Brooks was shot twice in the back. One of the shots was a center shot to the back that penetrated his heart, and it was done by a 9mm Glock.
That's the Fulton County prosecutor yesterday announcing charges against the two officers in the death of Rayshard Brooks. 11 charges, including felony murder, multiple counts of assault with a deadly weapon for Officer Garrett Rolfe, who fired the bullets, and Officer Devin Brosnan, who was on the scene, facing 3 charges of including aggravated assault. The prosecutor made the decision, we can go forward and we can carry forward with the prosecution and the charges because we don't need to wait on the grand jury. Sounds like a rush to judgment. Even regardless of how you stand on the case, you and I could have an opinion about it, but we're not the prosecutor. And we're not capable and authorized to file charges or dismiss them. Paul Howard Jr., the Fulton County DA, is. And he's rushing to judgment. As I said in news and commentary a moment ago, he decided, I don't need to have a grand jury. We do not need to wait on a grand jury. We can bypass a grand jury and move forward because we've seen enough. And they're looking primarily at the video and some preliminary investigation, possibly by Atlanta officers. The Georgia Bureau of Investigation, which is the one that's supposed to truly be overseeing all of this, admitted we've been blindsided by this. They issued a statement. The Georgia Bureau of Investigation was requested by the Atlanta Police Department Friday night, June 12th, to investigate an officer-involved shooting at the Wendy's restaurant on University Avenue. We are in the process of conducting this investigation. This was issued, by the way, just an hour after the prosecutor announced the charges. And adding, although we have made significant progress in the case, we have not completed our work. Our goal in every officer-involved shooting case we are requested to review is to complete a thorough, impartial investigation before we submit the file to the respective district attorney's office. The Georgia Bureau of Investigation was not aware of today's press conference before it was conducted. We were not consulted on the charges filed by the district attorney. Despite today's occurrence, the Georgia Bureau of Investigation will complete its mission of completing an impartial and thorough investigation of this incident, and we will submit the file, once completed, to the Fulton County District Attorney's Office. So he was not going to wait. The Fulton County prosecutor was not going to wait for the GBI to make its decision. And a couple things are in play here. One, the GBI also has an investigation underway right now against the Fulton County District Attorney for misuse of money, stealing, pocketing. I'll get into more details of that in a moment. I'm just pointing that out. Would that be why the Fulton County prosecutor decided to jump forward with this? Well, it might also go back to the fact that he is up for re-election, and he's facing a tough re-election battle in a primary. A story of June 11th, 7 days ago, he sat down with a reporter from a station in Atlanta, Channel 2, and was asking questions, answering questions about the so-called investigation of him. So I'll get back into the details of that in a moment. I don't want to lose the Rayshard story at this point, but what I do want to add from you, that interview, he said, Howard, in his runoff primary with a woman, Fannie Willis, he said, people want to be safe. I've already proven I can do that. We have prosecuted, for instance, more law enforcement officers who committed crime than any other office in the country. He said, I count 38 officers prosecuted since I took office in 97. So rushing to judgment, coming out so quickly with this charges issued, was it based on inquiry, investigation, or the mindset I just read for you? I have a record of prosecuting more officers than anyone. We'll come back to that. The other thing the prosecutor decided to add in his conference is something uttered by the officer who fired the shot, Officer Rolf. Please listen.
One of the things that we also relied upon in our conclusion is something that is called under the law, referred to as an excited utterance, and that's when someone makes an immediate statement, and because it is made without the ability to consult with counsel or to think about it, under the law, an excited utterance is considered as highly reliable. And at the time that the shot was fired, the utterance made by Officer Roth was, I got him. That was the statement that was made at that time.
So that phrase, I got him, what's that supposed to indicate? I assassinated him, or I stopped him, or the situation's now under control? What do you want to add to the interpretation? The words are, I got him. But the prosecutor is saying that also gives us a basis. And, of course, we pointed out a moment ago, two shots to the back. It would not be the first time, and I'm not going to say it happened this way, it would not be the first time that a suspect is hit in the back when, in fact, they were not at that time running, but did make a turn at the very moment the shots were fired. I'm not going to say that happened here. I'm just saying I think you need to take a good look at everything, but this prosecutor wants to rush forward. Now, I want to give you some balance. I don't want you to hear just things that I'm taking apart on it. And some of the balance and support for his decision comes from a source which, interesting, Matt Whitaker. Matt Whitaker was a former attorney general. He was appointed by President Trump to fill the term left when Sessions, quote, resigned. So he stepped in late 19 and through Feb 20 and served as the attorney general for that period of time, a few months. And Whitaker sides with the chief on this, with the prosecutor on this decision.
Doesn't matter, what type of person Mr. Brooks was. He did not deserve to die, and we need to find a way that the officers can feel safe and do their job, and at the same time make sure that Mr. Brooks is alive today. Because the American people want everyone on both sides of the political spectrum to come together to make sure that the officers have all the what they need in training and what they need in de-escalation and all those types of things.
But again, the point I want to emphasize that the former acting Attorney General Whitaker said, it's hard to believe that this killing was justified. In other words, he sides with the prosecutor's stance at this point. Although he's looking only at the video, too, as you and I have. He hasn't talked to anyone, done any interviews, hasn't looked at any detailed information. And I was off on my dates. He took over November 7th, 2018, as the acting Attorney General after Jeff Sessions, quote, resigned under pressure from the White House. So he served from November 7th, 2018 to Feb 14, 2019. I want to clarify that. But I wanted to give you the balance. Here's somebody who served as an attorney general, and he says, I agree with the Fulton County prosecutor. That killing was not justified. His exact words, it's hard to believe that this killing was justified. In other words, the officer acted wrong. There's a black sheriff in Georgia, Burke County Sheriff, Alfonso Williams, and he's arguing the Atlanta police officer, quote, was completely justified. Completely, his words, completely justified. He said there's nothing malicious or sadistic in the way these officers behaved. He said you can't compare this case to Ahmaud Arbery, of course, who was stopped by two men, white men, while he was jogging and shot. And George Floyd, who was, of course, held down by Minneapolis police. But the Burke County Sheriff, Alfonso Williams, said Officer Roth was completely justified in what he did. And also from Detroit, Police Chief James Craig was asked about it. Of course, all he's looking at is a video. He said there's lots of video generally that you have to go through. But here's his take.
Officers many times have a split decision to make that call, and sometimes they get it right, and sometimes it's questionable. But the environment today is so different, and we certainly don't want to politicize it. But again, we have to look at the totality of the circumstances. I look at all of these things very critically. I mean, when we talk about the death of Mr. Floyd, that video was clear. I understood it and clearly said, this is murder. But we're talking about a situation, two officers, they spent, I don't know, I think it was 40 minutes having an encounter with him. He ultimately blowed. He offered no resistance. I thought I heard one of the pundits on another show said there was never any resistance shown by this subject. And it was. He, in fact, did resist. But again, you got to meet the resistance with that force that's considered both reasonable and necessary.
And that's the Detroit police chief. Again, back to the Georgia sheriff, Burke County Sheriff Alfonso Williams, referenced use of the taser. He said for 5 seconds, an officer is hit with a taser, all of his muscles will lock up, he'll have the inability to move, respond, and yet he's still responsible for every weapon on his belt. If he's hit by a taser, it could be taken away from him. So here's what the prosecutor, Howard, said about the taser use in that incident.
We also noted that Officer Roth was firing a taser at Mr. Brooks. The City of Atlanta SOPs, in fact, prohibit officers from firing tasers at someone who is running away. So the city of Atlanta says you cannot even fire a taser at someone who is running away. So you certainly can't fire a gun, a handgun, at someone who is running away.
All right, if there's policy that you can't fire the taser at someone running away, well, then he violated the policy. That's not a criminal charge. That's a violation of their policy for firing the taser. And, of course, that's not the gun, but firing the taser. And then when Rashard Brooks turned and fired the taser at the officer, the prosecutor says, well, the taser is not a deadly weapon. Not a deadly weapon. Let's go back earlier this month when he was addressing a case where officers had used a taser on two college students.
The second officer is Willie Sauls and charged with aggravated assault of Ms. Pilgrim. And this is for pointing a taser at Mrs. Pilgrim. And as many of you all know, under Georgia law, a taser is considered as a deadly weapon under Georgia law.
Well, now, wait a minute. It's a deadly weapon or it's not a deadly weapon? It's not intended to be a deadly weapon. You and I know that. But here we got the prosecutor saying 2 weeks ago, because the officer used it on someone, it's a deadly weapon. But when it's used against the officer, it's not a deadly weapon. So what do you think is happening inside the Atlanta Police Department? Let me give you that part of the story when we continue.
You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. Check it out, redfitnesslounge.com, redfitnesslounge.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
So with the Fulton County District Attorney yesterday announcing, I'm not going to wait on a grand jury. We got enough what we've seen. We're going to go ahead and file 11 charges, including felony murder, multiple counts of assault with a deadly weapon for Officer Garrett Roth in the death of Rashard Brooks, and Officer Devin Bronson, three charges, including aggravated assault. And we're moving forward. The reaction inside the Atlanta Police Department. Several reports from news sources, a walkout. Several Atlanta police officers reported walking off the job at precincts across the city just hours after those charges were filed. Patrol officers staging walkouts, refusing to answer calls from precincts 3, 5, 6. And that continued through last evening and through part of today, apparently at this point. The Atlanta Police Department acknowledges, yeah, we've had a higher than usual number of callouts. The Atlanta Fox affiliate said it had a report, several tips, that officers were walking off the job en masse. Not just because the officer might be charged or is charged now, according to the prosecutor, but because of how it's done. The Georgia Bureau of Investigation was asked to take over the inquiry, and they're still doing it. And yet, they acknowledge we were not informed the prosecutor was going to move forward. We haven't completed the investigation. But I guess he made his decision. Now, why did he do it? He's facing re-election. He's facing re-election, and he needs those votes because it's a close race and a runoff. And he made a point in a recent interview saying, I've prosecuted more cops than anybody. Even if it's justified prosecution, he's trying to capitalize on it. Prosecutors do that. Politicians do that. But there's another kick to the story. The Georgia Bureau of Investigation already has an investigation underway into the Fulton County District Attorney Paul Howard. At the request of the Attorney General's Office, the GBI conducting the investigation that Howard, who's been DA since 1997, funneled at least $140,000 in City of Atlanta funds to supplement his salary, which is already $175,000. Apparently using a People Partnering for Progress as a conduit to pad his salary, according to tax records and the nonprofit's own documents. So he's facing some possible charges, and of course you also have the IRS taking a look at him. Maybe that's why he doesn't want the GBI to continue its investigation of the Rashard Brooks, and maybe, who knows? Who knows? Now, he's not found guilty of anything. I'll stress to you again, he's not. Oh, by the way, I want to go back to one point I'd mentioned in the prior segment, talking about this push for wiping out things like an Uncle Ben Rice because it has a black man on it. It's not, to me, it's not slavery. It's just a black man. I'm giving a chef credit for it. And I'd mentioned the Uncle Nearest that had been created by an Uncle Nearest, as he was identified, went down to show Jack Daniels how to create it. And I said, I bought that, and I hope they don't pull that because it's referring to Uncle Nearest. I told you I bought a bottle. I gave it to a friend. You know who the friend was? Paul Berry, who owns the station, getting ready to close all the deal to own the station. My employer. I didn't give it to him to make any points. I thought he'd like it. Oh, he liked it. I'm not buying him a second bottle. He's on our station. He can buy me one. We'll talk about COVID-19 next.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
So you're sitting in your favorite chair. You're enjoying your coffee, and then you see it. What is that? It's moving. Oh, it's a bug. Now, you don't care what kind. You just want it out of your house. Call Rottner Pest Solutions. They'll show up, take care of that bug and all of his friends. Now, you might think any pest control company could do the job, but with Rottner, all employees go through extensive background checks. And Rottner is proud to be the first company in Missouri to receive the Quality Pro Green designation. Plus, Rottner stands behind its work with a money-back guarantee, offering free inspections anytime. So after Rottner clears your house of any pesky critters, go back to your chair and that cup of coffee. Rottner Pest Solutions, Missouri's largest family-owned pest control company, serving more than just the St. Louis metro area. Go to Rottner.com, Rottner.com, and schedule a free inspection. Rottner.com.
You should have closed your windows and got another dog. You should have chained up all the doors and switched up all the locks.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So we're seeing some states go up in their reports of COVID-19, others holding steady. That would include Missouri and Illinois, and some going down. Or I take it back. They may be going down. I didn't check the latest numbers. Bottom line is we still have a lot of concern, and yet is it being overplayed, over-exaggerated, or maybe not enough? Joining us now, Dr. Kevin Pham, medical doctor, contributor to the Daily Signal and with the Heritage Foundation. Doctor, glad to have you on board again, sir.
Glad to be back. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, I'm looking at an article you did on the Daily Signal. Before I get to that, I want to run some other issues by you real quick, references. We have a report out of the South China Morning Post that China had canceled 1,000 flights into and out of two major Beijing airports, two-thirds of their total inbound-outbound traffic, because of concern a second wave of Wuhan coronavirus cases are showing up in the capital. What are you hearing about that?
I actually haven't been paying too much attention to the foreign picture because up until now, it seemed like most of the hot spots around the world seem to be calming down a little bit. But I'm not surprised that China would enact these kind of measures because, you know, they're not super transparent with what's happening in their country right now, but you can be sure that they don't want this virus to spread throughout their country again in a second wave. So I don't know exactly what's going on there. It's obviously hard to get accurate information out of China.
Yeah, and like you, I question if it's valid when we get it. But since the last time, they kind of had us waiting before they let us know, oh, yeah, this could spread quickly and easily.
Right. So I think it would be prudent for us to keep a close eye on what's happening there. And then it might be a good idea to increase the amount of screening that we're getting from foreign visitors.
All right.
The screening system isn't perfect, but I think it would be a prudent thing for us to do.
There's a new drug the WHO was talking about the other day. I think this is out of Oxford, I think. I don't have those details in front of me. But another drug they're looking at that could be effective. Where do we stand on that as either a treatment and or vaccine preventing?
There was a lot of buzz recently, so I'm not sure if we're talking about the same drug. There's a lot of buzz recently about a drug called dexamethasone.
Yeah,
that's a steroid. It's actually been, it's been used for a long time. It's a steroid, and what it does is it sort of blankets the immune system. It brings down the immunity. It brings down the inflammation system. So I have talked on the show before about Dr. Yediger, who was not chasing the viral infection, but was chasing the inflammation picture. And so doing that using steroids would work just as well as the drug that he was using, which was an experimental drug. So I'm not surprised that dexamethasone is turning out to be a really effective use in this. And again, it's treating the inflammatory picture, and it's not treating the viral infection, which is really important for those critically ill patients.
So California set a record yesterday for 4,000 reports of coronavirus. Texas governor issuing a statement that, businesses can force customers to wear a mask if you're going to go to the business, if they think it's necessary, up to them in their local jurisdiction. I mean, and yet at the same time, we've got arguments back and forth over social distancing, that it seems to be okay, as you were pointing out in your article, that it's okay if you're having a protest or a riot, but a political function or church a function, then no, you shouldn't do that.
Right. That's been one of the most frustrating things for me, because the truth is any kind of large gathering is going to be a risk for a large amount of spread of disease, especially a virus that's transmitted by respiratory droplets or by aerosol. And, viruses do not care about your ideology. So the fact that so many public health officials and experts are so lax on these protests, are so harsh on the people who just want to go back to work and earn a living, that's been really difficult for us, because that's really tanking our credibility in public health. You know, it's hard for us to tell one group of people that you have to do this and tell another group of people who thinks the way you do to do another thing, that they don't have to go through these dreadful sacrifices that we've asked other Americans to do. It's been
so
really bad.
What about this letter signed by 1,200 public health officials, infectious disease professionals, community stakeholders, as you pointed out, voicing support for demonstrations against systemic injustice occurring to the COVID-19 pandemic, basically saying, you can go out and participate in those because it's vital to combat systemic injustice.
I think it's completely within their rights as individuals to support these protests, the message, and everything associated with that. It's their right as individuals, but to stake your public health expertise and credibility on that, I think ties your expertise, your opinion, to this ideology. You know, if you can trust a protester to assess his or her own risk, then you can trust a business owner, a hairdresser, for instance, to assess his or her own risk as far as cutting hair, doing nails, that kind of thing. You know, we should be able to trust Americans to do this. If we can't, then we can't. If we can, then we can go protest and we can go and conduct our daily business.
Yeah, you directly stated on its face that letter was laudable, but also shows disparities in the health system.
Right. You know, the health system can't be treating different ideologies differently, because viruses, public health crises, they don't care about your ideology. All they care about is how well it can get into your system and do damage. So the content of speech really shouldn't be the deciding factor between which protest is right and just, and which one is a betrayal to the public health system. You know, we can't be treating people differently, and if we're doing that, then people are just not going to listen to us anymore.
You're listening to Dr. Kevin Pham with the Heritage Foundation, a contributor to the Daily Signal. And in this article that you pointed out that as to how we're getting two different stories from health professionals, you raise this point. I think is certainly indicative of what's to come. You state, at no point in medical training are future doctors taught to identify which protest is an infection risk and which is not.
Exactly. We're not trained to decide the proper type of protest. We're not trained to do that. We're trained to focus on the infection. And again, infection does not care about ideology. One of the things that we haven't been able to do is have funerals for our loved ones who have died whether as a result of coronavirus or not. And, you know, our loved ones have had to die alone because they couldn't be visited because we're doing social distancing. And then all of a sudden you have this large public funeral service attended by hundreds of people. You know, the double standard there is astounding, and it's unbearably painful for those of us who have lost loved ones.
You brought to mind the L.A. Mayor Garcetti, also the Washington Mayor Bowser, have done exactly that, joining in various George Floyd protests in their cities, while at the same time and restricting houses of prayer and maintaining you can only open with certain numbers or not open at all. In fact, in L.A., their churches, synagogues, and mosques remain closed.
Right, and what do we need more than anything else right now is God, and we should be able to do that. You know, a lot of churches, the ones that have been able to open, have increased the number of services they're having each weekend so that there can be fewer people at each service. You know, I think we should be able to trust our pastors to care for the congregants more than we should trust our mayors and governors to trust whether the congregants are getting sick or not. I do trust my priest more than I trust my governor.
I hear that. Say, a lot of flack is coming out from the mainstream media. You know, we're not seeing Dr. Fauci anymore up there with Trump. We're not seeing Dr. Burks because they're not saying what he wants them to say, so he's shutting them out.
Right. I don't think that's the case. And I haven't heard Dr. Fauci or Dr. Burks say anything to that effect either. I think the main issue now is that we're switching from being a largely clinical medical question to being more of an economic question, because we have taken this time to build up our supply chain. We have taken the time to increase our capacity. As we've seen that we haven't needed the capacity. All those field hospitals that were set up, they were never used to capacity. So we have the capacity, we have the beds, we have the supply chain. The next thing we need to do now is slowly reintegrate our daily living, and that's more of an economic question. So I think that's why we're not seeing as much of Dr. Fauci or Dr. Burks, even though I do love hearing from them, both of them.
There are a couple of questions regarding Dr. Fauci, and when it first came up, I raised the point, and I stated specifically why I think he made the statement. He was saying, you don't need masks. And I said, I don't know if they mean that or because they already know they got a shortage, and if the general public starts getting masks, they won't have it for healthcare professionals. And then later they said, yes, you do need masks. And I think now they are acknowledging, Dr. Fauci did the other day, came pretty close to acknowledging, yeah, basically, I lied when I said you don't need masks, and it was to make sure we got the masks to the healthcare professionals.
Yeah, I facepalmed myself very hard when I saw that. It was clearly a lie. It was clearly wrong, and I think anyone with common sense knows that it was wrong at the beginning. You know, if there's something that's being transmitted by respiratory droplets, then obviously masks are going to help in one regard or another regard. I understand that he was trying to preserve supply for providers, but the thing is, I think you can trust Americans to say that, you know, we need these supplies for people who need them. So if you can hold off, if you're staying at home, then you can hold off on buying masks and the like, then we'd really appreciate that while we get the production underway. Like, we need to level with the people. We need to trust the people. Otherwise, they're not going to trust us. And if there's no trust in between, then nothing's going to happen and everything goes bad. Definitely they needed to level from the beginning with the American people.
Very quickly, in the last 30 seconds, Dr. Fauci did say the other day, you can open and play baseball, but don't go into the fall because we'll see a resurgence of this. Your response?
The main thing is just maintaining distance between another person if you're going to be in a close quarters for a long time. So I think playing baseball is okay. Going packing into a stadium is less than ideal. I wouldn't do that, to be honest.
All right.
Large sporting events, I wouldn't do that. But
now our fault. Okay. All right.
Right.
Dr. Pham, I'm up against a hard break. I want to thank you again for taking time to be with us, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much.
You
for
bet. We'll do it again. Dr. Kevin Pham, a contributor to the Daily Signal. We'll take a break, and when we come back, I want to tell you about this ad trying to recruit COVID-19 carriers to go to Trump rallies. Stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Chang, chang, chang.
Chang, chang, chang.
This
is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, of course, Donald Trump is having a big rally in Tulsa, Oklahoma this Saturday. The first major rally, pretty much, since they have been under COVID-19 lockdown. They've had a couple, but this is going to be bigger yet. And they've had, at last report, maybe a million requests for tickets, or at least 500,000 plus, whatever. It's well above what they can put into that convention center. They can only take up to 20,000. And, of course, many have been saying, those who even were marching, in particular Democrats, governors, mayors, marching with protesters for George Floyd case, maybe or maybe not wearing masks. Most of them might have been wearing masks, but not every protester is wearing a mask. And they were saying it's okay to go out in COVID-19 and gather in large groups, come in close contact if you're wearing a mask. Keep in mind, they pointed out repeatedly, if you get something on your hand, then later you touch your mouth, your eye, you might infect yourself. So the mask will protect maybe right directed to your mouth or your nose, maybe not. But you can go to the protests and do that. But you can't go to political rallies for Donald Trump. Too damn dangerous. Just can't do it. And now there's a post that showed up on Craigslist. Flagged for removal from the Tulsa, Oklahoma Craigslist site, but apparently still on archive. It was supposedly looking to recruit anyone infected with coronavirus to attend the planned rally. Go to the rally. The ad stated, if you have been diagnosed as having the COVID virus and you really want to make a difference, we are hiring 20 of you to work in a large-scale test on transmission of the virus. Please assemble outside the convention center Saturday night. And in fact, they even gave a dress code for you so we could identify you. Show up as a group of four. Five different groups, a group of four. One of you should be dressed in all white. One dressed in all black. One dressed in coveralls. One barefoot or wearing flip-flops. That'll make it easy to identify you. And added, singers or people with a bad cough preferred. Is it a real ad or something somebody just decided to put up for a joke? Well, it was appearing at Craigslist, but still, I ask again, is it real or was it a joke? It has been removed, but the word's still going around. And on other social media outlets, hey, if you've got COVID-19, you need to go to the Trump rallies. I know you don't like Trump. You hate him and his supporters, the deplorables, and whatever else you want to label them. But if you got COVID-19, go. Hug a bunch of people, maybe even kiss them, breathe into their face. Make them sick. And in fact, this is not the first hoax ad associated with the Trump rally in Tulsa, assuming it's fake. It may have been placed in jest or it may have been real, but no one's really coming forward offering to actually pay the money for those going. But you plant the seed, see? That's what you do. You plant the seed and watch it grow and explode. PolitiFact had reported on a previous post that advertised for, quote, excited and enthusiastic minority, stressing big, bold words, minority actors and actresses needed to hold signs at the event in Tulsa. Now, was it to be holding a sign condemning Trump since you're a minority? It doesn't make that clear, but they just want you to do so. Some are saying this is just another indication of the Trump derangement syndrome, trying to make the other side look bad. Is the Secret Service investigating? Don't know. Do they need to? I don't know. Is it all a joke all the way around? Could be. But will some look at it and say, you know, that's not a bad idea? I've been finding COVID. Excuse me. COVID-19. I want to get in and see if I can get really close to Trump or some of his people. We'll find out. Oh, COVID-19 is causing another big concern, by the way. The Bold and Beautiful soap. Come on, I know many of you guys out there watch it. Don't act like, oh, no. Yeah, you do. When everybody's out of the house, you got nothing to do. You're sitting around, you're watching The Bold and Beautiful. I know you do. That soap opera has resumed production. And they're trying to get creative because trying to deal with the coronavirus pandemic, they were having a problem with a little bit of social distancing because we were looking at scripts and we started taking out all the romantic scenes because, you know, that's where they're in close contact, the actors and actresses. So we started taking those out, but the script just kind of fell flat. I mean, you got to, if you're going to be bold and beautiful, you got to be kind of, you know, hugging, snuggling, kissing, and all that stuff. And they said, we put our heads together trying to figure out a way to, how do we make this work without breaking the distancing rule? They found a way to do it. I don't know. You watch one of them. Maybe you'll spot it. Maybe you won't. They say you won't. They'll be using blow-up dolls to film the sex scenes. Unfortunately, they've only got one. They've used it once before as a body, and that was okay then. But now they're trying to put it into bed with various characters and put a wig on or whatever is needed so it appears to be one of the actors or actresses. So the other one has to be up against the doll, and my imagination stops there. Maybe you got a better imagination. And don't lie to me. I know some of you are watching. Probably, if it's on right now, I'm sure you're taping it so you can watch it when you finish listening to this program. You better make sure you listen to this program. Beyond that, I don't care. It's you, you're home, do what you want. Watch for the blow-up dolls in the sex scenes. Back tomorrow. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.